Lord, there is no one that compares with you, and you are a good Father, you're a good God, you're gracious. Lord, we worship and praise you and adore you. We thank you, Lord. Lord, thank you for bringing us together and just to worship your Son and to adore him. Thank you for the presence of your Holy Spirit here. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you are aware that we are just dust, Lord, and you know our weaknesses, you know our frailties, Lord. And yet you condescend to inhabit and dwell in us who are believers in you, Jesus. Father, I just pray your blessing on our time today as we look into some wonderful truths in your word. Would you bless those not only are here presently, Lord, in person, but also watching online, whoever they may be, that you would have a word for each one in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Good morning. It's a beautiful, beautiful Sunday. And it's a good morning. Welcome to Resurrection Church. Before we get started, I want to, this is a special day because we have two high school graduates who are graduated. One's coming up. Joshua and Antonio, why don't you come up? I want to pray for you. And if you guys would stretch out your hands, this is a new chapter they're going to be entering into after high school days. And I've known obviously both these kids since they were born, and to see how God I still think of you guys like this, maybe like this, but not like, he's taller. He just graduated. His graduation is coming up this week. My son Joshua and San Antonio, and you guys are entering into a new chapter in life. And it's both a prayer for you guys and also for mom and dad, because it's a new thing for mom and dad as well. And so if you stretch out your hands, I'm going to come on up this way. I'm going to just lay my hands on both of you guys. Pray a blessing and for God's favor. Stretch out your hands and pray with me. Father, I just want to lift up to you both Joshua and Antonio as they graduate from high school. Lord, we have just watched you grow these boys into young men, into young adults, Lord. And we are grateful, Lord, for your hand that's been on their lives. And now, Lord, I pray that as they transition from high school to whether it's college or some other career path, that you would continue to lead them, Lord. And bless them. We ask, Lord, that your hand would be with them in whatever, wherever they go, Lord, that they would have a true faith and walk with you, Lord. And I ask your blessing in them, whatever they set their heart to do, Lord, let it be for your glory. We pray for our parents that are in this position who are seeing their kids graduate or coming to that age. Would you help us as parents to know how to parent and yet be a counselor at times, Lord, to our kids, be a soundboard for wisdom, and to know how to pray for our kids and love them and encourage them in whatever their future holds, Lord. We know, Lord, that you are the one who made them and you love them more than we do, and you have great plans for them. So I pray your blessing on Joshua and Antonio. And we just give you praise for them in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thanks, guys. You may be seated. A little emotional time around Core Household right now because youngest go off and. And we had a celebration yesterday, and we had a slideshow. And when I first put together the slideshow, or at least my daughter and wife did, I would just start bawling because all these pictures of baby to young adult to little, I mean, I still remember, and I just was like, I'm still trying to grow up with them, and they're already 18 years old. So anyway, but God's good, and I'm excited for what's the future holds. So we are in a sort of like a little mini-series on how do you grow spiritually, and sort of the just the question of, you know, what's that all about? And today I want to talk about something that helped me grow when I was sort of coming into faith, and that's about our security in Christ, about being secure in our salvation and being secure in His love. And it's often a question that many people don't admit to, you know, because or a struggle. But so I used to go to a church years ago. I was in college, and I used to go. I got involved with campus ministry, and got involved with church. And I went to a church, the style of church that was very expressive. But they often had altar calls every single Sunday and Wednesday, and you would get saved over and over and over again. You know, you would. How many of you guys have been to that kind of church where you you got saved, and then you sinned, so you have to get saved again? You know, and so I was at the kind of church for a while, and I never grew. I never grew because I was always afraid that I sinned and did my salvation meet up to my next sin. And that's what we were taught. Basically, we were taught, hey, you're saved until you sin, and but then if you sin, well, then you better confess real fast before you die, because otherwise you're lost. And then, of course, that was very confusing, and it really was. So what happened is I became very insecure in my salvation. And many of us have used to go to those kind of churches, and so what you did is you tried really harder. So now you make sure you didn't miss a Sunday or a Wednesday or a Friday or whatever else there was, you know. And you did more things because you try to keep up with it, right? But you still never at the end of the day or at the bottom of your heart, you still felt uneasy about it because you wondered, did I miss something in my confession? And so I never grew in that kind of church. And you in any relationship, especially with the relationship with God, you can't grow unless you have security. You can't grow unless you have security. Here's a couple dating. And she's wondering, when are you going to ask a question? And he's like, I'm not ready yet. And so she's like, where do I stand? That's insecurity. If you don't have security, you can't grow. And so in my life, it was like that, and it was like over and over and over again. And so I started coming into doing more stuff for God. I'll get busier in church. That's what I started doing, is doing busier. Because I thought, at the end of the day, I thought security came from me. And so it was a life it was a lot of church going. It was a lot of activity, right? A lot of activity, but no security. At the end of the day, I wasn't settled. And you can't settle or rest or be secure if you're insecure, if you're thinking that your relationship with God is up until your next sin. So you go to the altar every Sunday and recommit your life to Jesus. And you get saved over and over again and do that whole thing, right? And just never grow. And if you never grow, you never grow. You never bear fruit. You're always on edge, and you don't even realize it because you think that's normal. You think that's normal Christian life, and then you get tired because you're still trying. So it wasn't until I went to a different church and started hearing about the grace of God that I started to grow, but. When you are insecure, you won't grow. If you're insecure as a Christian, you don't produce fruit. You don't rest. You can't enjoy the blessings of God, right? Because you're so worried. Do I even deserve those blessings of God? Because you're so worried if you've crossed that line. And that's the salvation aspect. And then you get tired and worn out. and tired and worn out of just trying and trying and trying and trying and trying. And Christianity becomes more about doing, right, than being. You become very busy at doing church. I think that's the way up. And then you doubt, keep doubting, and you start looking at yourself, and you say, like, I don't have it. But anyway, so security is extremely important. And the security of the believer is extremely important for us to even grow. So if you want to grow spiritually, you got to rest. And it's not just security and salvation. It's security in other things too, the love of God. I'll bet you there's some people either here in person or watching online who doubt that God loves them from time to time. It happens to me, right? Because we know ourselves. And we say, God, how could you love me? Because I fall way short. How could you love me? I'm not deserving your love. And so there's those doubts that come in. And if you don't have those doubts, God bless you. But there are those seasons that it happens. And you don't grow. And so I want to talk about it, understanding why it's important and what it means to be eternally secure in God, so that we can grow and be fruitful and worship the Lord and worship Him without fear and worship Him unabandoned and worship Him and just adore Him and rest in that. And let it be security that's real security, not false security. Real security that's based on Christ, not on our performance and self. So I want to give you a lot of points. We're going to look at a lot of scripture, okay? A lot of reasons, because this is something that I, until I understood this, that I didn't really grow, okay? So I'm going to give you some proofs of our eternal security, and I'm going to have you turn to a whole lot of scripture. If you brought your Bible, you're going to flip a lot of pages, and if you don't have a Bible, we have extra Bibles in the back. But the first thing, the first proof, I'm going to give you like maybe up to 20 proofs, you know, a lot of proofs, so that you can write these down and have and say, if you're having time to doubt, insecurity, you can look and say, wait, here's my security. It's signed, sealed, delivered in the blood of Jesus, okay? Okay, first one, I want you to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Watch this. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 30. And the first proof is this. That Jesus is the basis for our security. Jesus is the basis for our security in Christ. Watch this. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 30. I'm going to give you a lot of scripture on purpose. You're going to watch this. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 30. You guys there? Okay. On my Bible, it's page 1761. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Acts, Romans. Are you serious?
Yeah.
1761.
Totally different Bible.
Different Bible.
Yeah.
Wow. What are the chances of that? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Acts, Romans, 1 Corinthians, chapter 1. You got it? 30. Watch this. Chapter 1. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 30. But by His doing, that's God, by His doing, you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. So that just is written, let him who boasts, boast in the Lord. I'll read it again. But by what? Who's doing? His doing. You are in Christ Jesus. By His doing, not your doing, by His doing, you are in Christ Jesus. He's talking to believers here. He's talking to a Corinthian church in Corinth in Greece. And you are in Christ Jesus, who Jesus became for us wisdom. He's our wisdom from God. He's our righteousness from God. He's our sanctification. He's your redemption. He's everything. He's the whole package, right? But it's by His doing. Jesus is the basis for our security because it's by his doing that we are even in him. He puts the believer in Christ. When we believe in Jesus, he puts us in Christ. We're not in Christ because of things we do, but what he does. See, a lot of insecurity is by looking at what we do. Now, there's a place for living the Christian life, obviously, but I'm talking about foundational things. The foundation and basis of relationship is Christ, not self. Amen? I'm still not convinced. Let's keep going. Go to your right. Ephesians chapter 3. We're going to look at a lot of scripture. We're going to take a jet tour through many scriptures. Ephesians chapter 3. Go to your right. A couple books. You'll see a couple letters. Ephesians chapter 3. And I'm going to, verse 17 is where I want to be. I'm just going to start verse 14 because that's where the sentence starts. For this reason, Ephesians 3:14, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner man. Here he goes. So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through what? Faith. And that you, here it is, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, length, height, and depth, and to know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up with all the fullness of him. I'm going to key in on the phrase right there, being rooted and grounded in love. The word grounded there is a word for foundation, okay? It means your relationship with Christ is grounded and rooted in his love, okay? It's established. It's the most important thing for growth is to be secure in his love for you. And his love for you is not because of what you do. It's because of just who he is. It's his very nature, right? When he spread his hands out to be crucified, it was a demonstration of his love. And that was signed, sealed, delivered. Better slow down. Slow down. I'm excited. How could you not be excited about the love of God, right? Amen. It's undeserved, but yet still given. Amen? I mean, you're ground. That's the foundation of everything. It starts with Jesus, and Jesus does it all, and he's the foundation of your relationship with his love. You say, some days, John, I don't feel lovable. Amen to that. I don't feel lovable. Michelle, I'm telling you, there are days where I feel like I'm a complete turkey to God. Why do you love me? I don't deserve the love, you know? Nobody deserves his love. But yet he still gives it. It's not that we love him first. He loves us first. That's the foundation. If you could be rooted and grounded, cemented, firmly planted in his love, you'll grow. You'll be secure. God is not the kind of God who loves you. He's not like this fickle kind of God. I love you some days. I'm mad at you and I don't love you anymore. No, he doesn't. He is solid in his love because he already saw what you and I would do in all our lives. Like when he died for us, it was all of our life was in the future. Amen. So you're surprised when you go home tomorrow and you do something that surprises you. You think, oh, that surprised God. No, God already saw all your mess, start to finish, right? And he still loved you. Don't try to squirm out of God's love. You know? Because you and I are conditioned to believe that love is conditional. He doesn't love me anymore. She doesn't love me anymore. I don't measure up to that person. They don't love me anymore. We're human beings are conditional and loving. We say we're unconditional. We're full of unconditional love. No, we're full of conditional love that is on performance, but God's level of love is unconditional. And so we're not used to that. We're not used to unconditional love. We're used to a conditional love where if we meet performance, we meet expectations, we get the treat, and love is the treat. But if we don't meet it, that's withheld. And some of us have had love withheld from us by mom and dad, by siblings, by parents, by husband and wife. And that's what we've been conditioned in conditional love, but God's love is unconditional, never changes. And we try to squirm out of that because we're not used to it. And we sometimes we just go through a rejecting because we don't want to believe it because it's too wonderful, but it's true. And the sooner you can be grounded and rooted and secure in God's love, oh man, that will plant you firmly planted. Amen? Jesus is the basis. We're grounded and rooted in love. That means we're secure. Talking about security, go to a couple chapters here. Go to John chapter 6 first. We're going to go to John 6 and then John 10. John 6, talking about security. Watch this. John 6, 38 through 40 first. Go to your left from Ephesians. You know, there's some weeks I don't give a whole lot of verses, but this week I'm like, I'm just going to let it all out because I think it's this important. I think it's this important that we get this, that this is firmly, this is something that's so foundational to Christian growth is our security in the Lord Jesus. Watch this. John 6, verse 38. Where's 38? Here we go. For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, Jesus says, but the will of him, the Father, who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that of all that he has given me, I lose nothing but raise it up on the last day. If you're a believer in Jesus, he's got you in his hands, right? And he's not in the business of losing anyone. Of losing anyone. You're secure in his hand. Now go to John chapter 10. Go to John chapter 10. John 10. You guys tracking? All right. John 10. This is like this verse right here, this section right here is like if you have to pick one chapter and verse, this is it for your security. This is one of the main chapters and verses. John chapter 10 and verse 27. He says, my sheep, this is Jesus speaking, my sheep hear my voice. He's been talking about those who are true believers are his sheep, unbelievers are not his sheep. But he says, my sheep hear my voice. If you come to Jesus, you've heard his voice. You're a sheep. If you believe in Jesus, you're his sheep. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give eternal life to them, and they will, see what it says here? They will never perish. You see that? They will never perish. Let me stop right there. In the Greek, there's what is called the double negative, right? In English, double negative is not good, right? Because we take English like it's math. Negative and negative is actually a positive. But in Greek, two negatives is like piling on stuff, right? Which means it's emphatic, right? It's a double negative with an aorist subjunctive. It's a technical thing in Greek. But what it means is that they will never, ever, 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 ever perish. Yes. Like if you really want to say something, they're my sheep and I got them in my hands and they're never, ever, 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 ever. Ding, ding. To return, never perish. And no one will snatch them out of my hand. No one will snatch them out of my hand. Okay, when the kids were younger, okay, Joshua was, he was a curious little boy, and he was the kind of kid that would run out into the street, you know, because he was curious. And so he'd understand danger, so he had to hold his hand really tightly. And some people are like, well, what if I want to get out of God's hand, you know? He's like, no, look what it says. What does it say here? No one what? No one will snatch them out of my hand. Who does no one include?
Yourself.
It includes, yeah, Satan, who wants to snatch you, and includes you, who wants to run away and run out to the street and run away from God. He's got a grip on you, right? He's got the grip on you because he knows there's a danger. He understands what the danger is. And you understand. You think you understand what life's all about. And God's like, I got you, man. I got. No one means no one, including you. I love that. I love that. No one will snatch them out of my hand. And my Father, watch this. My Father who has given them, keep going, verse 29, who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. Now, you got double, what's the word I'm looking for? Double grip. You got Jesus, who's the Son of God, and then you got the God the Father. You can't go any higher than God the Father who's holding on to you. You talk about security. You are safe in God. No one's able to snatch him out of Father's hands. I and the Father are one. I just love that. I just love that. I have to be reminded of that. I don't know about you. I have to be reminded of that. Let's keep going. Sorry. Keep going. Because we have God the Father, God the Son. Now let's add God the Holy Spirit. Okay? Because, you know, the Trinity is involved in your security. See, this is not just a single double. It's a triple secure effort here by God himself. Go to Ephesians. Go back to Ephesians. You're right. Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. That's what Paul says here. Now, he has, in chapter 1, he pronounces this tremendous blessing, this long sentence in the Greek language from verse 3 to 14 is one sentence in the Greek. But we're going to go to verse 13. And Ephesians 1, 13, is where, 13 and 14 is where we're going. Ephesians 1, 13 says, in him, you also, after listening to the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed. You see that word? You were sealed in him, in Christ, with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit of promise, who was given as a pledge of our inheritance with a view to the redemption of God's old possession to the praise of his glory. He says, you are sealed in him, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit. What does that mean? The word sealed was like, he is, the Greek means it's a sign of ownership, and it's a sign or like, this is my deposit, and I'm coming back, and this means this is my, you're my property. It was used for like making a deposit on something. You would put your seal on it and you make the deposit and say, okay, that's that person's, and he's gonna come back and retrieve that. Okay? And the idea is that when you have the Holy Spirit, it's evidence that he's coming back to grab his possession, which is you and me, which means he's coming to get you, which means you're secure. It means you belong to him. It's the seal of ownership. In fact, I'll just read this. Paul uses the same word in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Don't have to turn there. I'm just going to read it because it's the same word, and it talks about a seal of ownership. In 2 Corinthians 1, in verse 22, it says, same word, it says this, who also, okay, let me just back up. Now, he who establishes us with you in Christ and anointed us is God, who also sealed us and gave us the Spirit in our hearts as a pledge, means as a sign of his ownership. In other words, we belong to him. He's put his seal in us, his Holy Spirit. That's a big deal. We belong to him. If you're a believer in Jesus, you're secure and you belong to him. I could probably spend weeks on this right along, and I won't. I'm just giving you some. It's like, well, by the way, salvation starts and ends with God. It doesn't start with you. It starts with God. Salvation always starts with God. And he continues that work of salvation, and it ends with God. All of salvation is entirely God's work. Like go back, you're still in Ephesians, right? Okay, go to chapter 2. Just look over here, chapter 2. Watch this. Look at verse 1. Chapter 2, verse 1. What does it say? You were dead. He says, you were dead in your trespasses and sins in which you formerly walked. You were, before you came to Christ, you were dead. How much effort can a dead person do? Somebody has to come in and revive you or make you alive, right? You were dead. We'll skip down to verse 3. Among them, we all too lived formerly in the lust of our flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath. Whoa. Well, watch this. Verse 4. Here it is. But God, we were dead. We were children of wrath. But God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us. But remember, we haven't done a thing. We're dead, right? And yet he still loves us. Even when we were dead, verse 5, in our transgressions, he made us alive together with Christ. For by grace you have been saved, and he raised us up and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You see that? See, it all starts with God. You were dead, he made you alive. You were dead, he raised you up with Jesus. And now he seated us, you and I, are seated in the heavenly realm with Christ. You say, well, okay. Okay, so I know he made me alive, but what about going forward in my life? You know, what about that? Well, go to Philippians 1. I'm giving you familiar verses on purpose. Philippians 1 and verse 6. Because if God made you alive, he has some responsibility of seeing you through to maturity. And it says in Philippians 1:6, for I am confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus. He began a good work in you. You were dead. He made you alive. He started something in you, and he's going to perfect it till the day of Christ Jesus. If you're a believer in Jesus, if he is your Lord and Savior, no matter good days or bad days, he's going to see it through. And sometimes we feel like there's more bad days than not, right? Because not every day is a day where we feel close to God. There's days where we feel very distant from God. Amen? There are days when we feel like very distant, like God's silent, or we go through times when we don't feel like we're doing enough for God, but God is still working in our lives. Sometimes we're so busy, want to produce, you know, always wanting to. Sometimes God says, just stop, just rest, just chill, you know? I'm still doing something in your life. And your inactivity doesn't mean my inactivity. Your inactivity doesn't mean that I'm not doing something. Amen? Jesus, of course, keeps us. He prays for us. He is always with us. In fact, if you're still not convinced, I want you to go to Romans chapter 8. Because, again, there's this thing in me that wants to squirm away from God's love, wants to feel undeserving of it, which I'm undeserving of, but he's unconditional love. But Romans chapter 8, watch what it says in verse 31. What shall we say then to these things? If God is for us, who is against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him for us all, how will he not also give with him freely us all things? I just butchered that sentence. How will he not also with him freely give us all things? Who will bring a charge against God's elect? God is the one who justifies. Who is the one who condemns? Christ Jesus is he who died. Stop right there. Stop right there. When the devil comes and brings accusation against you to condemn you, to point the finger at you, Paul says, well, Christ died for you. Yeah, I'm condemned. You're right. But Christ died for me. I'm guilty as charged. You're exactly right. But I have an advocate. And you can't undo that. Christ died. And he was raised. He intercedes for us. Who will separate us from the love of God, of the love of Christ? Here it is. you're insecure in your love, in God's love for you, who will separate you from that love? Will tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Is there anything that's going to separate you from God's love? Even when you don't feel lovable, even when you feel undeserved, and even when you've wandered away from God and you're out there trying to explore things, God still loves you and wants the best for you. So I am secure in his love. When I don't feel that way, I have to then go to the scripture and say, do I believe the scripture or believe my feelings? And sometimes my feelings scream loud. I don't feel lovable. But God says, who can separate you from my love? There's that battle. How many of you guys experienced that battle? Am I the only one? That battle of battle, you can't be separated from God's love. We're to rest in it. We are to trust in it. We are to trust in Jesus. He's giving us, he's not only given us his Son, he's given us his Holy Spirit. He's given us his Word. He cannot lie. And no one can snatch us out of his hands. He's the God who is able to keep you. Nope. Go to 1 John. I'm going to share another scripture with you. 1 John. Because I remember I was talking with somebody recently, and it's like, how can I be certain of salvation? How can I know and be certain of this? 1 John. Couple verses here. Chapter 5 is the verse, one of the verses I'm going to. Chapter 5, verse 13. 1 John 5:13. This is John's purpose for writing this letter. 1 John is almost towards Revelation. These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know you have eternal life. I've written these things in this letter so that you know, you have confidence and assurance that you have eternal life. Now, this, I could probably give you 10 more points. I won't. I could. For example, he's given us a new nature, right? We're born again with a new nature. Okay, 1 John chapter 3, go there. Might as well, right? Watch this. 1 John 3, verse 9. No one who is born of God practices sin because his seed abides in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. Now you said, no, practice is sin. I sin all the time. Okay. The word there for practice means a practice to become better at it. Now, there's times when you go through rebellion in life, and the Holy Spirit will speak to you, and you'll hear him, you'll be convicted of him, but he won't let you go very far. No one who is born of God wants to become distant from God or sin against God, because he loves God. There's a new nature in us. There's a part of us that says, I don't want to do that. There's a part of us that still wants to do that, but there's a part of us that doesn't want to do that, and that's something new. That's proof of the new birth. Now go to your left, go to 1 Peter. I'm just going to take you to one more verse, and then I'm going to make some points here, extra points. But 1 Peter chapter 1, he says in verse, we're going to verse 5, but I'll verse 3. 1 Peter 1, 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy caused us to be born again to a living hope. See that? He causes to be born again to a living hope. You had no part in being born again. He made you born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away, reserved for you in heaven. Who are protected by the power of God. You are protected by the power of God through faith for salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. There's the protection again. He guards you. He protects you through faith. If you are trusting and believing in Jesus, he's guarding you. I can go on. There's more points I can make. But let me just make two crucial points. If my security in Jesus is dependent on me and my performance, I can never know security. If it's dependent on me and my performance, I can never become secure. Because I'll never always wonder, am I doing enough, right? Did I forget something? So if it depends on me and my performance, I can never know. You can never know. And if it's that way, if I'm thinking it's dependent on me, then am I holding on tightly to God enough, right? Am I doing enough, God? Am I doing enough? Am I holding on tightly to you? But what happens when your grip gets loose? What happens when you get tired? What happens when you get discouraged and you can't hold on anymore? What do I hold on to now? Wow. God's keeping power is greater than your power of commitment. God's keeping power is greater than your power to hold on to him. His power of holding on to you is greater than your power to hold on to him. So there's times when you can't hold on anymore, he still has you. Remember, it all starts and completes in Christ. It all begins and ends with Jesus. I tried. I can't try anymore. I can't let go. I got you. You sure, God? You sure it's not me? My strength, my efforts, I'm not doing enough, Lord. I used to do a lot more, but what? Son, I did it all. I did it all on the cross. But God, I know I... When you rest and are secure in the love of God, the salvation of God, you actually will be able to grow and actually bear fruit. Because now his life is flowing through you. And you're not anxious anymore. You're rested in that. And that's the whole point. Well, what about those who walk away from the faith, right? What about those who walk away? There are those who walk away from the faith. And Scripture says that they went out from us, and they were never really of us. They looked like us, but they weren't really of us. Look at Judas. One of the 12, he wasn't really. Jesus says, one of you is a devil. Judas was never a believer. Just because you go to church doesn't mean you're a believer. I can go to McDonald's, and I'm not a hamburger. Right? There are people who do religious activities. They do the part. They play the part. They speak the language. At the end of the day, they fall away. It's happening all over the place. Christianity right now is full of people walking away from the faith. I can name names, and you'll recognize various people. I won't mention the names right now, but who've walked away. John says they were never really of us. So there are those who do that, who turn away, but they never really were believers in the first place. Okay, John, but what, okay, I'm here, I believe in Jesus, I struggle, but what, okay, give me some assurance here. I'm going to give you 3 points, real fast, 3 points. First of all, here's what can give you assurance. Are you trusting in Jesus for your salvation alone? Is he your trust? Are you really, really relying on him and trusting and looking to Jesus only for your salvation? Not to what you do for God, but to what he's done for you. That's assurance right there. Secondly, is there some evidence of the Holy Spirit's presence in your life? Now, obviously, don't become so microscopic and analyzing every single thing you do wrong, but is there, in a general thing, of like, hey, there's a desire for loving God, a desire to worship God. The Spirit cries in our heart, Abba, Father. Is there fruit? Is there Is there a this desire to go? Is there that in your life? There's evidence the Holy Spirit's doing something. It's like, I used to not be loving, but now I'm loving. I used to not be, Or does the Bible repulse you? Do Christians repulse you? Does God repulse you? Well, then I don't know if that's good evidence. The good evidence is the Holy Spirit's work in your life. Is there obedience in your life? Is there a desire to obey God? Do you want to obey God? That's a big sign right there. Lord, I want to believe. I'm having a hard time with things, but I want to believe you. I want to draw near to you. That's evidence right there. And that will give you assurance. Doesn't mean you won't be perfect. Doesn't mean you won't fail. Doesn't mean you won't blow it. Doesn't mean you won't go through seasons and times of stuff, right? But deep down, there's like, Lord, I do want to be near to you. And is there a growth in my life? Has there been growth in my life? More than anything else, I would say the first one, trusting and relying on Jesus alone and say, Lord, I'm yours. That will give you assurance. Look to Jesus, not to yourself. Look to Jesus. And if there's somebody that's here or watching online who's not really certain, or maybe you've played the part and you know deep down you're fooling people, but you're not fooling God, give your life to Jesus. Surrender to Him. He's God. He knows what He's doing. He loves you. He gave His Son for you. And He has the best thing for you, and that's life eternal through His Son, Jesus. Let's bow and pray. Lord, first of all, I want to thank You for Your Word. I thank You for these. We looked at just a handful of Scripture, Lord, but there's so many more verses of evidence of security that those who are true followers of Jesus, that we can be secure and grounded and rooted in Your love and in our salvation, Lord. But there may be those, Lord, who are here today who really aren't trusting You, who aren't sure. I pray, Lord, that You grant them faith, Lord, that they would surrender their life to You. I pray, Lord, that You would start that work in their lives, that they would receive You as their Lord and Savior and trust in You only. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and life, and no one comes to the Father but through Me. And He lived a perfect life, and He died, and He was resurrected as proof that what He said, He backed up with action. And so, Lord, I pray that if there's somebody here today in person or watching online who doesn't know You, that the Holy Spirit's working on their heart, I pray that they would surrender and their life to Jesus and receive Him as Lord and Savior. And I pray for anyone who's here who maybe have times of insecurity of whether God loves them. Let us look to Jesus. Let us rest entirely on Jesus. Not to ourselves, not to what we do, but to who He is and what He's done for us. I pray, Lord, you would encourage our faith. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, let's stand up. After I started learning about my security in God, personally, I really felt growth. I felt something settle in my heart, and I began to really bear some fruit, and it was life changing. And so that's why I was sharing this with you guys today, because I thought I knew how to grow, but I didn't until I heard about the security I have in Jesus. Well, God bless you guys. Do we have the words? Yes. We have our tradition of every Sunday morning after church or at the end, pronounce a blessing on you. The Aaronic blessing. This is a blessing that Moses taught to Aaron for Aaron to pronounce and place the name of God on the people. Okay, and he would say this, and he would do this with his fingers, almost like Spock, And this would create a letter in Hebrew. There's a, it looks like a W. It's the letter Sheen. And it's an abbreviation for God's name, like El Shaddai, you know. And so he would place the name of God on people, and he would say, "The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace," in Jesus' name. God bless you guys. See you next week. Have a wonderful, wonderful week. Take care.